All righty, we're back, and we have Sarah McGurvey with us from the Right to Life of Northeast Ohio. She was supposed to leave at 11, but we won't let her go. We got her locked in. We're going to make her listen to a clip about Sherrod Brown. Take her away.
I know I talk a lot about this. I mean, people hear me talk about it, but I think it's really starting to sink in for everybody. That the globalists have unlimited fiat currency money that they've given themselves, and they're vertically integrating every sector of the economy around the world, not just here in the United States. And that then to get full control, they want to bankrupt everybody and shred the local economy and destroy local businesses and annihilate farmers and literally outlaw all human activity that they don't control towards an accelerated collapse, which they believe they'll come out on top of. This is not Club of Rome documents from the 1960s that said they do it. This is not Bilderberg documents from 2002 saying they do it. This is not the Rockefeller Foundation, Operation Lockstep 2011 saying they do it. We are now living in the first stages of the end of civilization as we know it. And so I'm a pro-human, pro-civilization, pro-life, for humanity in general, individual. They're pushing government-forced suicide, murder, on mentally ill and children without parental consent in Canada, and now it's going worldwide. They are shipping in masses of fentanyl and other drugs everywhere. They are literally dissolving our borders, the end of Title 42. The videos from reporters, and our reporters are going to the border tomorrow, are pouring in from Brownsville, pouring in from McAllen, pouring in from El Paso, where everywhere you go, caravans of thousands to tens of thousands are just slamming in. 99% of them being allowed in. Total and complete absolute lawlessness. And then they go on the national news, the John Kerrys, the Prince Charleses, now King Charleses of the world, and say, it's global warming. That's why viruses came. No, you made them in a lab. It's global warming. That's why they can't feed themselves on their farms. No. For the last 2.5+ years, started 3 years ago, but it's really kicked in 2.5 years ago, they were still on lockdown 6 months ago in Latin America and most countries. They were still in lockdown in Africa 6 months ago because the IMF and World Bank said, if you want your money that your government's in debt to us for, you've got to keep it all shut down. So they did not produce food. They destroyed their economies, and then now the UN is pointing them at us, billions of people. The UN says their plan for replacement migration 2001 to be in place by the year 2025 would be 680 million illegal aliens brought into the U.S. The U.S. is 330 million. You heard me right. An outside population from all over the world, a Tower of Babel. Nobody can communicate with each other. People from Asia, Middle East, Africa, poorer areas of Europe, Latin America, criminals, the prisons being opened up, flooding us with the refugees of the New World Order, flooding us with the collapsed civilization. Because when the first world collapses, the third world dies. This is footage shot this morning in Brownsville. Thousands pouring across the border. They're not waiting till Title 42 is raised tomorrow night at midnight, is obliterated. The border is completely gone. The police have been defunded in hundreds of cities. Soros has put his DAs in over 800 cities. He controls over 20 state attorney generals. The military is being completely brainwashed. We're being pushed to take poison shots. This is the designed assault of civilization. Then the globalists come in with the unlimited money they have and buy up what's left. They are at war with us. And until the general public realizes this, we don't have a hope to stop them. But more and more at the regional and local and international and national level, world leaders understand what's going on.
All righty, we are back. And we're going to now switch to this little clip on Sherrod Brown. That wasn't Sherrod Brown. That was Alex Jones, okay? And I know both of these two. And believe me, they're nothing alike. Nothing alike at all. And so now we're a little bit of a clip on Sherrod Brown.
Senator Sherrod Brown, a Democrat representing Ohio, has been accused of taking hundreds of thousands of dollars from pharmaceutical companies responsible for fueling the opioid crisis in his state. The three companies, Cardinal Health, McKesson, and AmerisourceBergen, have been accused of failing to track suspicious orders of or increases in opioid use among purchasers, despite doctors potentially criminally overprescribing the drugs. The crisis has affected Ohioans from all walks of life, and the devastation it has caused is immeasurable. And yet, Senator Brown accepted large sums of money from these companies, leaving many to wonder, is he complicit in the crisis too? Thanks for watching Next News Network. I'm Ivory Hecker, filling in from my YouTube, youtube.com/Ivory Hecker. Don't miss a single update on this story. Tap subscribe below and enable your notifications. The three pharmaceutical giants paid out a $26 billion settlement to settle thousands of individual lawsuits from state and local governments. This report will dive deeper into Brown's campaign contributions, his ties to the opioid crisis perpetrators, and the impact of their actions on Ohio. Ohio has been one of the states hardest hit by the opioid epidemic. According to the CDC's National Vital Statistics System, there were 5,068 drug overdose deaths in Ohio in 2021, the fifth highest in the nation. Despite the devastating impact of the crisis on Ohioans, Senator Sherrod Brown has been accused of taking hundreds of thousands of dollars from three drug companies at the center of the opioid epidemic in the U.S. Brown received over $200,000 from political action committees associated with Cardinal Health, McKesson, and AmerisourceBergen since 2003. According to FEC financial reports cited by the New York Post, that is the case. The three pharmaceutical giants paid out a $26 billion settlement to settle thousands of individual lawsuits from states and local governments. This raises concern about whether Brown's actions have contributed to the rise of opioid addictions and overdose deaths in Ohio. Brown also took in $54,100 from lobbyists who worked for the three pharmaceutical distributors, including $5,600, the legal maximum from a McKesson lobbyist in 2020 and again in 2021. Additionally, individual employees donated another $40,000, with Cardinal Health Chief Information Officer Mark McNaughton being a frequent small dollar donor. The former Cardinal Health CEO George S. Barrett donated a total of $15,400 between 2011 and 2019, all in large amounts. The three companies, along with Johnson & Johnson, settled a $26 billion lawsuit with 49 states, the District of Columbia, U.S. territories, and thousands of municipalities in February 2022. However, Ohio, one of the states hardest hit by the crisis, is not satisfied. The settlement dealt with 46 of the 49 states. Alabama, Oklahoma, and Washington state refused the settlement. The Cherokee Nation also settled separately, and the remaining Native Americans had reached an agreement in principle at the time. Take a look.
Who could benefit?
We're one step closer to closing this dark chapter to creating a healthier future.
Under the terms of this historic $26 billion settlement with the nation's three major pharmaceutical distributors, along with drug manufacturer Johnson & Johnson, California would receive more than $2 billion for drug treatment and education. It's not clear exactly how much San Diego would potentially receive through this settlement. California Attorney General Rob Bonta.
There must be justice for what was done, accountability for the crisis that remains with us today.
A crisis that, according to Bonta, has claimed more than 1 million lives nationwide.
Well, despite the overwhelming evidence of their role in the opioid epidemic, Brown continued to take donations from the pharma giants. Brown is running for a fourth term in the Senate in 2024. However, he faces an uphill battle in a state that is rapidly turning red. Former President Trump won the state by 8 points in 2020, And Republican Senator J.D. Vance won the state by 6 points in 2022. Ohioans must hold their representatives accountable for their actions and demand that they prioritize the health and well-being of their constituents over corporate interests. In the wake of the devastating opioid crisis that has ravaged Ohio, Senator Sherrod Brown's ties to the pharmaceutical companies at the center of the epidemic raise serious questions about his judgment and priorities. Despite the overwhelming evidence of the role these companies played in fueling the crisis, Brown continues to accept large sums of money from them. Ohioans deserve representatives who prioritize the health and well-being of their constituents over corporate interests. As the state heads into the 2024 Senate election, it remains to be seen whether Ohioans will hold Brown accountable for his actions and demand real change from their elected officials. Let me know your thoughts. Let's continue this conversation.
All right. You know, we're going to do all we can because, look, for years and years, he got huge contributions from the baby-killing industry, the child-killing, planned predators, NARA, all of that. Not only that, but he got a ton of money coming in from California, from out-of-state death. It's death money. And now his death money is on opiates, it's on drugs, it's on... and so people need to know that. It's just unbelievable how the entire Democratic Party is completely corrupt. There's nothing about it. Now, I said last Thursday, remember I made a statement that according to God's word, the Bible, every single Democrat congressman, every single congressperson is a fool. According to God's word, the Bible, and according to God's word, the Bible, every single one was vile. So you say, well, how did you do that? Well, the Bible says you'll know them by what two things? Their fruits and their works. Their fruits and their works. You'll know them. Well, when it came to the legislation that they were trying to pass, where it came to remember the Infant Survivals Act, when a baby survived abortion, that, you know, you were supposed to, the act simply said that we'll do all that can. If that little innocent child survived an attempted murder, that's what we're talking about. People are afraid to use, you know, terminology, real terminology. Then everything should be done to save that baby, okay? Not one Democrat voted for it. Not one, okay? Where it came to keeping biological men out of little girls' bathrooms and shower rooms, you know, and that's just common decency. Not one Democrat, not one voted to pass that. And I'm talking about the women, too. I mean, and they have to have daughters, right? Not one. Of course, their kids would be put in a private school somewhere where you wouldn't have that, okay? And then when it came to legislation prohibiting biological men from competing in women's sports because it just, you know, how fair is that? I mean, just common decency, right? Not one Democrat, not one voted for that legislation.
It's terrible. And actually, oddly enough, in other states that had pro-life or pro-abortion amendments at the ballots, in Montana, they had a born alive ballot measure to protect children born alive after an abortion. It was rejected 52.55%. In Kansas, they had one that said no state right to abortion in Kansas. It was rejected with 58.97%. In Kentucky, their amendment said no right to abortion. Kentucky. Theirs again said no right to abortion is listed in their constitution. It was rejected with 52.35%. And in Michigan, they had an amendment almost identical to the one that's proposed right now. I think
that's where it came from.
Yeah, I believe that one of the only differences, if any, is that where ours says pregnant patients treating physician, theirs says healthcare professional. True. I'm serious. I'm like, what? This is insane. And actually, we have had calls from people in New Jersey and Michigan asking how they can help us here. And thankfully, there have been several donors who have been trying to help with the Protect Women Ohio campaign because, like they mentioned for the Sherrod Brown issue, he had tons of out-of-state donors helping him out. The other side in Michigan had 12 major donors, 11 were from out of state. And right now, Protect Women Ohio is trying to raise about $56 million to make sure we can message wider than the other side is. Because if this passes, again, if any person or entity assists the individual and that's okay, that's coercion. Boyfriends can coerce their girlfriends into getting an unwanted abortion because there's nothing that says that they can't do that. And where it says just the word abortion, that's unregulated, right? Like I said earlier, there is no precaution for where this takes place at, for any kinds of sterilization of the equipment, for...
Well, what about House Bill 68 here in Ohio that wants to block them from giving out puberty-blocking drugs and doing the surgery and all of that? Where is that at right now?
So, again, if I don't know where that's at. I'm not going to lie to you.
Okay.
But I know that if this goes in the Constitution, though... House bill is part of Ohio Revised Code. This would override all of the House bills that have been put in place that protect women, parents, and unborn children, including unborn children with disabilities.
It would nullify that, yeah.
Exactly. So Constitution goes above Municipal Code and Ohio Revised Code. In fact, when my first time out at a location, I was, you know, just being polite and friendly, just giving out the information and in trying to just be polite. And the woman said, well, Sarah, I hear you, what you're saying, but what about the 14-year-old girl who gets raped? I said, well, this would allow whoever did this to her, if they took her to get the abortion, they couldn't be charged with giving her an unwanted abortion because they're the one who's assisting with it. And she said, but if she's raped or with incest, then municipal code would provide her a guardian. I said, well, that'd be great if that was listed in the amendment. And it is not.
So, Sarah, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
On this August, was it 6th or
August
8th?
August 8th.
Okay, 8-8. Okay. That's easier. 8-8-8, Pastor, right? But anyway, our August 8th bill, do we know whether we're going to be voting yes or no?
You'll be voting yes for 60%.
Okay, yes for 60%.
August 8th.
No, I'm saying that so that we can say that.
Yes.
Because you know they're going to word it where yes means no.
Right.
And no means yes.
And they've already tried
that. That's it. You know they're going to do that. Now, let's face it.
Yeah. Okay. August is yes, and we hope that the yes and hoping that all of our other efforts to educate the public on what this will do will deter them from getting the signatures possible. But God works in mysterious ways. I mean, we don't know what can happen. We really don't. We're just praying and praying and praying that we can get everyone out there for an August 8th election. Vote yes, August 8th.
Okay.
Vote yes, August 8th.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, you see, if we, you know, here, a lot of the other states are watching us, and because the opposition has been winning us in this, if we win this, and we're going to fight like heck, we're going to do it.
Oh,
we're
absolutely.
Win this. Then the other states are going to say, look, if they can do it in Ohio, we can do it here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you know, we came up with the heartbeat bill, but other states passed it first because of the opposition we had. And we've got to find a way to override that satanic judge, that antichrist of a judge, and get the heartbeat bill and back into law, okay?
Amen. Amen. I know that I believe Attorney General Dave Yost is working on that right now. I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, he submitted a brief to the Supreme Court asking that even while it's in the court case, that it be put back into effect and continue. I don't know exactly where it stands right now, but he is trying his hardest to make sure.
Is that the one where he's joined with Alabama and all the other states, and they all joined into the case? I think it's like 18 of them or whatever.
I believe
about the heartbeat bill.
You know what? I would have to look further into that, but that could be. I don't want to give wrong information.
I know, and I'm not, you know, trying to put you there because we read so much here, you know.
I do know that terms of the abortion pill being sold in pharmacies like Walgreens and CVS and Rite Aid, that various attorneys general complained to Walgreens about them providing this to people at the stores, and now Walgreens is back on the right track. And to my knowledge, CVS is not. So if you want to all call CVS and email them saying, please stop this, that would be great.
Okay.
Yes, but Walgreens is better. But I know that many attorneys generals did contact Walgreens and said, this isn't okay. And then they were like, oh, okay, our bad, and they stopped.
No, the clipboard people are at Walgreens.
They're everywhere.
I know that.
They are in store parking lots. And also, by the way, if you happen to see the people with clipboards who are severely misguided and need many, many prayers, you can always go to volunteer.createdequal.org. That's volunteer.createdequal.org and submit the location they're at, what time it's at. And then people have signed up to receive these tips where they can go and be present there and provide accurate information and or just pray scripture next to them. And that has been known to decrease the signatures they've gotten. One person from Created Equal did go one time and provided the red pen markup, which is also on the website, volunteer.createdequal.org. And 10 people walked away. And there's also tips on how to approach these people. And it's all very peaceful. It's educational. And one person even said to him, if I had known this before, I would not have signed it. But they are out there. And actually, a friend of mine called me as I was about to walk in the studio. He said, Sarah, oh my goodness, I was at an audition for something. I thought there was a sign-in sheet. There was a representative there. I told her no. And then I signed something and realized, oh no. So if you're in the theater at all, be very careful because they are out there. They're trying to trick people. They are even walking up to cars and parking lots, trying to get signatures at people's windows. And they will go to any length to try to get this. I have heard of cases in Medina and Canton where they're walking, they're not knocking on doors. They're asking the resident, are you pro-life or pro-choice? If they say pro-life, they said, oh, that's what this is for, to get them to sign it. And that's how Kansas lost. And also messaging. Again, messaging is a big deal because if they are wider spread messaging than we are, then people believe what they hear first usually. And that's why, again, being part of this is so important, this whole coalition. Talking at your churches, asking you to talk there, telling your friends and family about this, whoever you can. And also, if you're able to donate as well, protectwomenohio.com, because it's going to cost at least $56 million to spread the message far and wide via digital, via TV, via radio, yard signs, literature, etc. It's going to be a big thing. So every little bit counts, whether it's speaking at a church, whether it is going to a location, whether it is donating, whether it is praying next to the people. Whatever we can do, we have to band together, unify, multiply, educate to make sure that life wins come November.
Well, you know, here, you know, the Bible says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, so choose a life that you then and your seed may live. See, a lot of people, they're not really biblically literate. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, not because the knowledge wasn't provided for them, but they rejected it. Today, you have, people don't understand. Do you understand that when a woman kills her baby, the Bible says she deserves to die? Do you know that?
I believe I have read that.
Yeah, you go to Genesis chapter 9 and read verses 5 through 7. God gave us the divine institution of human government, which is legitimate, real government. What we have today in America, it is just a real poor excuse for government. But when God gave us the divine institution of human government, the Noahic Covenant, he made 5 points very clear. The first point, to whom it was given. You find that in Genesis 9 and 10 and 11, 12 and 15 and 16. To all mankind for perpetual generations and everlasting covenant. But then he tells you the intent. The intent you find in verses 1 through 4, and that was man was to govern for God. Man was to govern for God. But then you get to the third point, which is the most important point. It's the entire purpose of human government. The entire purpose. And that's in verses 5 through 7. And that tells you that God had given man dominion over the environment, but kept dominion of man for himself. Therefore, whoever destroys the image of God, which is man, has to forfeit his life. That's what, you know. So here, the entire purpose of divine human government is to preserve the image of God, that being man. And then the fourth point was the means by which man was to govern for God. God's laws, God's statutes, God's ordinance, God's covenants, God's promises, etc. And then the last point was all peoples and all nations that would be in compliance with the first four would be at peace and not at war with God. Well, not too many nations nowadays are at peace with God.
Very few, yeah.
And so, but people don't understand that the wages of sin is death, okay? And so It says, so these women have no idea. They're taught, well, we have to have compassion on them. God says, look, if you kill your child, you deserve to die. See, that's the hard truth. And I think people need to understand that's the hard truth. And you say, well, that's being so charged. Well, you take a look at it here. If you have a man and he's got a little baby that's 9 months old, and you got a woman with a baby that's 9 months old, she could kill it, and people say you should have compassion. If he kills it, he should go to jail. Okay? What kind of a mindset? You understand that where we're at today, they've gotten so far away from God's word.
Every sin that was ever committed was pro-choice. The devil's was pro-choice, and Eve's was pro-choice, because Eve took her right to herself. And I'm saying that, like, so that doesn't, that's always gotten us in trouble as part of creation, being pro-choice instead of obedient to God.
I know. Yeah. I do have one good story, though, about a woman who did repent and who came back into communion with God. She actually met one of these clipboard people in a gas station. Here's how this went down. They were in their car, and they called out to her thinking she would want to sign it. And she actually, again, she has repented for her past sins. She was much younger and made some bad choices, and she found herself pregnant and had an abortion. Went through all the trauma of that. She went and repented to God. She found healing through that. She did repent, and she changed her ways entirely. So she did hit rock bottom, as you mentioned earlier, and then came back to Jesus. And now she's very adamantly pro-life. Yeah. She's come up from the ashes, as we so to speak.
That's what repentance is.
Yes, yes. Okay. So she's done that. And now she is and also, that's why we need to pray that they really repent, right? Because she has not been able to have children since then either. That was her only child. But once she repented, you know, God showed her who this child would have been. And she then, you know, asked that child, you know, spiritually to forgive her, et cetera, et cetera. And now she's this amazing pro-life warrior. So she has repented, but her soul was dead. Like, it was when your child is taken by your own aiding in that, that's got to be, your soul must be crushed like crazy, as you said. But then that repentance piece, when you repent, when you really examine yourself and truly say to Jesus, I'm so sorry, I have sinned against you, and come and do what you need to do to repent and come back to God, then you have a Saul to Paul moment. You come back and you hit full force, and then you
do
like he does.
Yeah, if there's true repentance, then you have people that are really, I was in the pro-life movement from the very start. Mm. They are very zealous for the right things, okay? Like King David, you know, mm-hmm. King David, you know, was a murderer, okay?
Yeah.
But he repented, and he came back. But here's, on the other side of that, those that refuse to repent, they've got the highest rate of suicide. They're 7 times more likely to commit suicides than women that have not killed their babies. Okay.
And then let's don't forget about the class of people that have survived abortions.
Oh, yeah.
Because, my friend Marco, that's helped us here on the show, is a survivor of an abortion attempt. And so is the guy I found out where I get donuts. He's he's another with this. They're these are viable, productive people who survived abortion attempts.
Yeah. I met one recently. I was actually at an event in Columbus one Saturday to learn how to engage people in a productive way at these locations. Yeah. And the girl sitting next to me spoke up and said, I'm a survivor of an abortion.
Yeah.
I mean, they are so productive. I mean, if people even knew the potential their children could have, but they've been so lied to when the people
working because these aren't worthless people that,
they're not.
You know, well, we may as well, they're going to live a bad life, so we may as well get rid of them now. These are people that turn out to be quite productive in society.
Amen. We're going to go to a quick break. We'll be right back. Dying. She was only 8 years old. She said, I want to see the preacher. So they left them alone. Will you make me a promise? She said, as you walk in, He said, tell me what I can do. She said this to him.
Tell mom and dad about Jesus and all the pain that he had to bear. Tell mom and dad about heaven above. Heaven, they can see me there. Tell mom and dad about Jesus. Tell them all you've done for them. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them again.
She said, I know I'm dying, but that's not why I'm sad. I know I'll go to heaven, but what about mom and dad? I told them about Jesus, but I could not make them see. So when they come to my funeral, would you do this for me?
The pain that he had to bear. Tell mom and dad about heaven above. Tell them they can see me there. Tell mom and dad about Jesus. Tell them what he's done for them. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them.
Said they dropped me off at Sunday school, and I'm so glad they did. But how great it would have to be in a church service with them. She said, promise me you'll tell them. As she faded off to sleep, he said, sweetheart, don't worry. That's a promise that I'll keep.
Tell mom and dad about Jesus and all the pain that he had to bear. Tell mom and dad about heaven above. Tell them they can see me there. Tell mom and dad about Jesus. Tell them what he's done for them. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them again. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them again.
Alrighty, we are back. And that was... that little girl's name. I had one of my senior moments again there, and old past turning. But anyhow, listen, we're going to take a couple calls. You got to stay on topic because Sarah is only going to give us a few more minutes. She has to get her beauty sleep. And so if you get off target, if you get off topic, I'm going to call you a hillbilly on national radio. So let's go to AC. AC, you're in the air.
Yes.
Hey.
Pastor.
How are you?
And to your crew. Yesterday you were talking about, you did the something on the 17 works of the flesh, okay?
Yeah.
And one of the works of the flesh was emulation. And the definition of emulation is a desire to be equal to or surpass.
No, that was the works of religion. I did the works of the flesh and the works of religion. The two of them.
Okay, but emulation is one of the works of the flesh.
Well, I guess you could say that then.
Yeah, it's in there. It's one of the 17.
Mm-hmm. Well, talked about sexual. What I meant was some of those were sexual sins and others were religious sins, sins of sex and religion.
Oh, yeah, right. But it's still a sin.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you think about it, Lucifer tried to be equal to God. In fact, he tried to surpass God.
Didn't do it, did he?
No. But that was his sin. And people don't realize today, and I was thinking about this when you said this, that these people that think they're of the opposite sex, they're committing the sin of emulation because they have a desire to be equal to something that they are not.
Not only that, but they're telling God he made a mistake when he gave them that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're insulting God.
Absolutely.
It's a sin of emulation.
All right. Well, listen, thank you for that. And I've got to move on because we only got her for a couple more minutes. We got some other callers really quick we got to go to. But God bless. Let's go to Pastor Hal. Pastor Hal, you're in there.
Yes, sir. How you doing? You know, we need to pray for this country big time. You know, that God put up a wall himself of the southern border and stop Satan's Democrats from doing anything else to hurt this country.
Well, you're absolutely right. We that's what we've been doing for all these years, but... you know, we've led up a couple of national prayer groups right here on this radio program nationwide. We got to keep. God's word doesn't stutter. For 50 years, I've been telling people, folks, God means it when he talks about this power in prayer, you know. But we may be at that time where there is no turning back, but we don't know that. So until that, and of course, you know, sometimes God lets you go to the very bottom before he'll raise you up. And maybe people haven't had it bad enough yet. Maybe they need to get a lot worse before they repent, huh?
Yeah, and it's coming to that real quick.
Yeah, I know. We're probably not far from, you know, I mean, we're not really that far from a shooting war in this country is what they want to start. I mean, it'll happen. Once it happens, it'll blow up, you know. Also, right. It'll be like a fire. It'll spread. And that's what they're pushing for.
Chaos.
Pardon?
I said they want to create chaos because
exactly.
They'll bring in the UN troops to restore order and we'll be a third-rate police state.
Well, that's where we're heading right now. Unless people repent and turn around. Well, we're working on that. All right, thanks. Let's go to Jack in San Diego. We're trying to get him to stay on the topic of pro-life, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because that's why. Serious. Hello, Jack. Are you on the topic?
I want to stay on topic.
Good.
And it seems like the debate is usually centers around when life begins, but ultimately I feel the fate of the unborn will be decided by the Constitution. So I wanted to ask you, Pastor Ernie, and your guest, in your opinion, at what point do your constitutional rights begin?
Well, first of all, there's a right that supersedes the Constitution, and that's right from God's Word, the Bible. And he gives us that, and we have that in the Bill of Rights, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The first word is right. And God makes it very, very clear that he is the one who decides when people should live and when they should die. And so it's not a state's rights. It's about the state obeying God and not people obeying the state. And the state needs to get right. Or the state's going to regret it, and I think that's coming.
Well, ultimately, I think, you know, when these issues go to the Supreme Court, they're going to look at the Constitution, and you didn't really answer my question. I'm asking you, in your opinion, when do your constitutional rights begin?
My rights, as far as the Constitution, we have that Bill of Rights. The rights are given to us from God, not the state. And so when do they begin? They begin from the moment we're born.
Conception.
Right.
See, that's the point I'm trying to get at. And, you know, one said when you're born, I heard the other voice said at conception. What does your guest think?
I firmly believe that human rights begin at conception. The downside is... the Constitution does not state that, which is the unfortunate part. So,
yeah, see, that's my point. I think at some point, the Supreme Court justices are going to have to make a decision. When does your constitutional rights begin? And I think that is, that will be the basis of protection for the unborn.
Well, the Supreme Court has already said that's up to the states and not them. I got to move on, Jack. Let's go to Cliff. Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah, hi. You know, one thing, I remember being on Amtrak, and, you know, this was a long trip, and I got into a random conversation with a woman. I don't know why she told me this, but she said how I think she had three or four kids already. Her husband left her, and she tried to do a self-abortion. And then she said it didn't work initially, and then she said forget it. And then this was the only kid that helped her out, you know, at this point in her life when she's elderly. So that was an interesting story. But I was looking at Ezekiel. I think I missed this previously, but Ezekiel chapter 12, I think it's verses 16, 17 to 19, it talks about people quaking, which reminds me of an earthquake. And then it says to be careful. I thought that was interesting. So that's one thing, Ezekiel 12. And then another thing was Isaiah 33, verse 16, where the Lord says, he's telling some people, your water will be sure. I don't even think we're guaranteed water now. And then it goes on about these very dangerous people that will not show up. So I was wondering what you think of that.
The very dangerous people. I was, you know, you got me over there. I was already on the quaking here.
The quaking is interesting because I don't think I caught that the last time I went through those chapters.
Well, quaking means like when you're about ready to have a nervous breakdown, when you're shaking, and when he's referring to quaking and trembling, they're one of the same, quaking and trembling. That's what he's referring to, and he's telling you when he says, Son of man, eat the bread with quaking and drink the water with trembling and with carefulness. One of the things there, when he says, And saying to the people of the land, Thus saith the Lord God of the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the land of Israel, they shall eat their bread with carefulness and drink their water with astonishment, that her land may be desolate from all that is there. And again, it's all about God's judgment. You know, God judges sin. Holy gods judge sin. And what was the other passage?
Other one was Isaiah, starting at chapter 33, verse 16. It's talking about the bread and water being sure for the people that continue to be in the Lord's good graces. But I like that word sure. You know, that seems to be positive.
And you say Isaiah, 33, you said 33, 16?
Yeah.
Okay. He shall dwell on the high place of defense and shall be in the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him in the waters and sure. Well, he's talking about those that are righteous, that obey God. When times get really tough and rough on them, God will provide for them, okay? And that's what he's referring to.
So, right, and a little bit later it talks about they shall not come in, these people with deep tongues. And, you know, so I guess the idea there is that there will be a savage army, but the Lord will protect against them for certain people.
Right. That's what he's talking about. I got to move on. Thanks, Cliff. Let's go to Timothy. Timothy.
Yeah, good evening. I haven't been able to talk to you in a while, but I listen every day. I just wanted to be brief. First of all, I hope you're doing well and everyone that's there this evening is doing
Thank
well.
You.
In mind, body, and soul. And I just say that the thing we have to do today is, stay informed, be aware of what our enemies are all about. So we stay informed and we stand on the truth because we know that their schemes are going to be thwarted. God is always on the throne, and Jesus did die on the cross and rose again, and we know he's coming back. So unless he tarries much longer, we know that our redemption draws nigh. And I was listening to some messages in the last couple of days, and I just wanted to throw out Daniel 8 and Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse. Drop the mic.
You know, you're absolutely right. And Daniel 8, Timothy, I'm going to have to move on, but Daniel 8, we kind of saw that when we had Operation Desert Storm in a situation. I don't have time to explain that now, but...
I feel you. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so, anyhow, because I have to move on because we're running out of time, but listen, thank you for calling. And all right, now we're going to go to Pastor Hal. Hal, you've got about 7 minutes, I think, to tell us, tell the folks out there how they can get to heaven and how they can avoid the lake of fire.
Okay, you know, the Bible talks about the blessed hope, which means it's another name for rapture, which is catching up. And the Bible makes it clear that right before the tribulation period takes place, the rapture is going to take place. In Revelation 3:10, God tells us he's going to deliver us from that hour. Or is that 1 year, 7 year tribulation period, that the Antichrist rules the world. And the last half of that 3.5 years, that it's going to be more horror and torment in this world than that's ever seen. But that's not for born again Christians. Jesus is coming back to take us home. And it's very soon. You know, we can tell by the signs of the times. And if you want to avoid the horror that's coming our way, that you can see us going in that direction every day by what's going on in politics, by the way the Democrats are leading us into a cesspool of horror and anguish, unleashing our enemies upon us. There is an escape, and it's through Jesus Christ. It's repentance of sin. Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. That's Luke 13:3. And Jesus also said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. In John 3:3, he told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Being born again means you were born the first time physically, or you wouldn't be hearing my voice right now. The second birth is a spiritual birth that takes place when you go to God and just admit to God that you're a sinner, that you're sorry about the fact of your sins, and you want Jesus to come into your heart and give to you the payment he paid in your place on that on Calvary. See, the reason Jesus died on Calvary was because sin had to be paid for. God is a God of love, but he's also a God of perfect righteousness. His righteousness demands sin be paid for, but he allowed Jesus, here's where his love entered in, he allowed Jesus to pay that righteous payment in your place and mine. He allowed Jesus to transfer your guilt and my guilt upon his son. And when Jesus died on that cross, he said, it is finished, which means all the work necessary for your redemption and mine has been accepted by God the Father. But that payment don't become yours automatically. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And you receive him by opening up your heart to Jesus and asking him to come in as your Savior. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means if you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to save your soul, and you confess him with your mouth, which means invite him to come into your heart and save you, he's going to do it. Because God wants to save you more than you could even want to be saved, but it's a free gift. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All my life, when I was brought up in a Lutheran church, I thought if my good works outbalance my bad, I go to heaven. If not, vice versa, I go to hell. But the thing is, if you could quit sinning right now and never sin again the rest of your life, which would be impossible, just the sins you've already done would be enough to keep you out of heaven. You could be a member of every church in town and die and go to hell with all your membership cards. You can get baptized so often, every tadpole in the creek knows your social security number, and die a wet sinner and go to hell. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, because in Christ was all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means it was the very blood of God himself that washed away your sin and mine on that cross, because only pure sinless blood can wash away sin. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You don't get to heaven by church membership. You don't get to heaven by praying to the so-called saints in heaven. You can do that all day long and still die and go to hell, because none of them died on the cross for you. Only Jesus did. And so that's why when we get to heaven, All the glory is going to be given to him, to you people that receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so I'd like to ask you right now, if you believe that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to save your soul, which the Bible says he did, Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him." That means right now Jesus Christ is standing at the door of your heart. He's knocking on that door, but he's allowing you to be the one that decides whether that door gets open and he comes in with the payment he paid for you, or whether you keep him on the outside and die and go to hell. If you want Jesus to come into your heart right now, what do you say we say a simple prayer of faith together? But even though we're praying together, it'd be directly between you and God, because only you can open up the door of your heart and let Jesus come in. If you want to do that, if you want to make sure heaven's your home, if you believe God in the Bible, let's pray this prayer together. Oh, dear God, please forgive me, a sinner. I believe that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to wash away my sins. And Lord Jesus, I here and now ask you to come into my heart and give to me personally that payment you paid in my place so I could have eternal life. I here and now receive you as my Savior, and I thank you for eternal life. I thank you for my salvation through your shed blood on that cross for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, if you just prayed that prayer, 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. That word believe on meant that you personally received as your Savior. It didn't say these things have I written unto you that believe about. Even the devil knows that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to save your soul, but the devil did not want you to reach out and receive that payment. He wanted you to think as long as you accept the facts and not the person that you're okay. But when you prayed that prayer and meant it, Jesus came into your heart and gave to you eternal life. And then he said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Why? That you may know that you have eternal life. Not think it, wish it, hope for it, but know. How do you know? Because God made you that promise, and God cannot lie. So if you prayed that prayer and meant it, sorry about the fact that you're a sinner, ask Jesus to come into your heart, then I'll see you in heaven. God bless. Go ahead, Pastor.
All right, let me ask you this. Has anyone ever, ever, ever regretted receiving eternal life?
No, the only thing most people regret is that they didn't do it sooner than they did.
Now, is everybody, whether they're in heaven or hell, are they all believers today?
Yes.
So all those folks out there that we're talking about and that are mocking mocking God, like those folks from that Satan con, they're going to be a believer someday, aren't they, for fact?
They sure are.
Okay. And because the Bible says it's appointed to all men once to die, do you think that George Soros isn't going to die? Because they say that they're going to find a way, Klaus Schwab, to live forever. You think that'll happen?
Oh, they'll be living forever in hell if they don't repent and get right with God.
All righty. We're out of time for tonight. Thanks for calling, Pastor Hal. Thanks for leading this. Sarah, thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you.
And so, folks, until tomorrow, we want to say
good night, God bless, and always, 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 always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.